One of the most interesting things about being a Christian is interaction with Christ. Interaction with Christ. Christ's heart is always to interact with us. In the histories we have and we will be visiting, all that he was doing, he was meeting people and he was meeting their needs. And from a few weeks, we have been seeing how Jesus was demonstrating his power, not only in teaching, because the Bible says actually Jesus went about preaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching in their synagogue and healing the sick. That was like a mission statement for Christ. And as we were going through those passages from chapter 5 of Matthew to all the way to chapter 7, all that we were seeing, Jesus was teaching, was proclaiming the kingdom of God, that he brings himself. You see, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he went on to tell us how to live as his own people. Isn't it? Forgive, you will be forgiven. Judge not, you will not be judged. You are the light of the world. So he taught us how to handle ourselves in this world, how to see ourselves as Christians. And I have been stressing this a lot. You see, God is fascinating about making for himself a people who will be different. Yesterday, I was at a gathering. We were just chatting. And this young man from South Sudan, he said he was coming from the part of South Sudan that was so close to Ethiopia. And he was telling me that Christians, even in those primitive settings, they were standing out. And then he said to me this, that something really stayed with me. He said, you know, like the tribalism there, if clans fighting other clans, and if someone is killed, and then his family will just go and kill someone from that very place. And he said, when people go out to revenge, whenever they find Christians, even from those communities, they leave them alone. They just pass away. They realize these people have been redeemed and they are different. They are not caught up in all these things. How about that? That is the nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Setting us apart, making us so different, and dwelling us with the Holy Spirit, and also giving us the scriptures, and making difference in this world. That is why we pray for people in position of authority, because he commanded us to do that in 1 Timothy, isn't it, chapter 2. Whenever you come together, pray for those who are in position of authority, so that, and then the things is, pleases him, and also we will live in peace. So it's not about just going and demonstrating in the city. You see, we can be violent, so let us stop this and this. You see, when we have a sovereign God who has commanded us that he has superpower to all the things we do to pray, you see, and he will just keep every person obey by his power and grace. Well, we have seen our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not just only a teacher and a proclaimer of his kingdom, but he is our healer even this morning. He is our healer. He is our healer. And the healing is not just only physical. You know, physically we can be healed and we can get sick again and eventually we will die. You see? But here what Jesus was doing was demonstrating his authority, his power as he comes, meeting us in our needs. So this is what we see. I have three things to share. I two histories. I put them under three headings. And the first things in chapter 8, verse 14, in this history of healing of the mother-in-law of Peter, I want to put this statement before you, something you need to take on board. Jesus sees our needs with compassion. He sees our needs. That is what happens. After he served there, after he finished speaking to the centurion, they were going to have some rest. As they were going to the house of Peter, or Peter's house. And there, the Bible tells us, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed. It's Jesus who had the initiative. He saw. And seeing is something we need to pay attention on. Jesus seeing, not just to see, but he sees with compassion. And he is not going to stand there, because some of us, we can see troubles and we can see problems, and we will have no power really to help most of the times. But Jesus demonstrated his authority and power. He looked at this woman with pity. And this is the character of our God. You know the history that we read in the Old Testament. God seeing Hagar, this woman with a child in her womb, running away from her mistress or from Sarai. And so God cares in chapter 16. God cares, and this woman, she was going away, and God appeared to her, because it's God who sees and cares. El Roy. God who sees our needs and moves with compassion and power to help us. And in our relationship with God, this is what we need to establish in our heart, that our God cares so much, regardless of the severity of your situation and the hardship that you are going through. He sees and he cares. And now Jesus, seeing here with the eyes of God, is more than seeing with his own eyes. He's feeling with his own heart for this woman, older woman who was sitting there. And you see, this, whenever he comes, this expression is repeated when he came into the house. In verse 28 also, when he arrived at the other side in the region of Gadarenes, and then we have two demons, possessed men, coming out. So here we have Jesus coming into this house, and so what he does here, and then the Bible tells us that he just touched this woman's hands. He touched. Now demonstrating his power by just a touch, a single touch, this woman is healed. He touched her hand, and her fever left her. Just immediately. She didn't need to pray for a long time. He didn't need to shout or to call upon powers. He has power in himself. And now with a touch, and just we are told, just her hand. You see the woman with phlo just touching just the part of his garment. Just imagine, I always tell you, comparing Jesus with everybody else. So we always have religions, and why should we follow the leaders of those religions claiming to be the prophets, the messengers, the mediators between us and God? And why Jesus in particular surpasses all these people who are claiming to be something? Why? We have seen this. When he spoke the word, when he taught, the people were marveled. They say he taught like one who has authority. You see? Because he was teaching his subject himself. He was not teaching about traditions. He was not teaching traditions. He was teaching life. Even this morning also, as you sit here, it's all that you need to do is you need to know, well, I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. What is my situation? What is my condition? It might not be like a physical ailment or sickness. Maybe you are troubled in your mind, in your heart. Can Jesus bring that to peace? Can it? Yes, of course he can. Whether we will see, he will use his hand. Also, he will use his word, isn't it? So he is able to do this. When you come to a fellowship like this, all that you need to do, you need to know that you are in the presence of Jesus Christ. And you didn't come here to pay your religious duty, appearing in the church. Jesus says, If two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And as we come because he is here. He's going to meet with us to look into our own needs. As he saw the need of this woman, also he sees your need even this morning. He sees your need and he cares. And he can touch you even today with a single touch. And we see now also in verse 28, these two demons possessed, when they came to him, they recognized in Christ his authority. They said, the Son of God, you came to destroy us. You see, they recognized his authority and his power. And that is why they were running away from him. And Jesus wants us to have this attitude of recognizing his power and his authority. The centurion, the history of the centurion was so significant. This man who knew that Jesus Christ has authority, and he was even not worthy for Jesus to come under his roof. And that was what Jesus really praised. Because he said, you just send a word. Your word has authority, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at that confession. And that is what you need to do this morning as I come into your presence, Jesus. Touch my mind. Touch my heart. Heal my relationships. Heal them. They are suffering. Oh, heal my attitude. Heal my thoughts, my belief in you, that you are sovereign. Heal my false religion, that my performance, that I just depend on, I want to please people, want to appear that I'm a godly man. No, heal that. Heal that so that my religion will be to glorify God. And that I'm walking only before my God. And also, I am so careful not to abuse his own people, isn't it? So is vertical and is horizontal. And I said this even in this place a few weeks ago. This friend of mine, he said, if only thing that you do have is good relationship you have with God, and then your relationship with others is bad, you will be like someone who was born in a hot weather, and then he is sent into a very cold weather, you see, and he's getting sick all the time. And he's getting sick because he is in an environment that is not suited his body. You see, it's just like that. To be free, you need to take hold of the whole counsel of God. And now, the centurion, he had faith. And Jesus said, this man is a foreigner. He's not even in the family of God. He's not an Israelite. He doesn't have that privilege of being in the covenant. And yet, that single faith that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, Jesus says, I say to you, that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Because these people, what they have in their mind, they acknowledge Jesus is the Messiah. He is all sufficient. He has the power even to send a word only that my servant could be healed. How much more about you who has experienced salvation? I always say the greatest miracles ever is the salvation. That a sinner who is so wild, so far away from God, reading worthless readings and not loving people, revenging all the time, swearing, living independently from God, has no regard for God, and now he's changed completely. And he knew that he is a brand new human being. And now he is to serve God only, have love. That is a miracle, isn't it? And to sing. And to pray. So not everybody prays, isn't it? Well, today, if you haven't been praying, and you don't know how to pray, maybe you open your heart to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I just want to come to you. Please come into my heart and change me, save me. I'm a sinner. Wash away my sins. Deliver me. So with a single touch, Jesus can heal you. And I suspect that it is on Sabbath. Because on Sabbath, Jesus deliberately chooses to go and heal. Because we are told in verse 16, when evening came, many were brought to him. Those people were fearful to bring their sick to Jesus during the day. So they were waiting, and now they are rushing, bringing many people. Jesus has authority to heal one person, to heal many in different ways. You don't have to dictate to Jesus how to heal you, like Naaman of Assyrian. You know Naaman of Assyrian, that captain who was leprous, I said, who had leper. You see? And then when he came to Elijah, wanted to be healed, he was told to go and wash in the river. Just a word. He didn't like the word. He wanted the prophet to come and just move his hand upon his body and be healed. You see, but this is God. And then I believe the prophet acted here, demonstrating to us that he is Christ-like prophet. You see, the power of the word of Jesus. So that man was healed. So many people were brought to Jesus who had demons, who were demon-possessed, were brought to him. And he drove out the spirit with the word, the power of the word of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible is here for us to heal us. The word of God heals. So that is why if we want to be healed, we need to read the Bible. As you read it for yourself, the Holy Spirit will take it and touch your heart and change you and heal you and heal your wrong thinking. You have heard me reading Isaiah 49, isn't it? Isaiah 49 is like someone who has been disappointed, isn't it? How many disappointed people today in the house of God? People who have been misused, mistreated, abused, while they were faithful in the service of God. So you can say with Isaiah that my right, my reward is with the Lord. My reward is with the Lord. You see? So here we see that many people were brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed them all with the word. With the word. And healed all the sick. And you know, that was to fulfill, we are told, that was to fulfill the prophecies spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. That is his nature. That is what he was called to do. That is what the people need to recognize, that Jesus Christ has been appointed for our salvation by God our Father. And he came into this world, he is capable of taking all our diseases, all our demerits, all our sins, everything that would hinder God's blessings. Jesus is able, not then, even now, to touch us, to touch you. In gathering like this, unfortunately, the church is not experiencing the move of the Holy Spirit, the touch of God, because people think something has to happen. That is something they see, maybe. But all that you need is just faith in the power of Jesus, because in himself he has all this power to heal and to touch. Now, we see also in the history with the demon possessed. Now, as I said, Jesus is the one who has the initiative to go and heal. So he was on a journey after he finished here with Peter and his house. So he decided to go to the other region. So verse 18 says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave order to cross to the other side of the lake. You see? And then we jump from verse 19, because that was where he was going to go. He decided to go to the other side of the lake. And what we have in between here from 19 to 20 to 27 is interaction with people on the road as Jesus was moving to where he was going. Jesus has already determined where he was going because there was a great need on that place. So when he arrived, after he decided to come to the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came from the tombs and met him. So Jesus was going to meet these two people because they were possessed by demons. They were tortured. That was not natural for human being to be possessed by demons. We were not created to be inhabited by demons. We were so dignified to be created after the image of God. And Jesus, as a savior of his own people, as our savior, he cares. He saw from a distance that these two men were struggling with demons. And then demons, they can only live in the tombs and with dead bodies. That is the nature of Satan, humiliating human beings and just making you really crushed, worthless, with no dignity. That is not God's heart. God's heart for his own people is to know that they have been created for a purpose. And so you see, that is what I'm saying. Jesus who sees and does not stop there. He moves because he's El Roi, God who sees and provides. The translation, they say God who sees, God who provides. Abraham and Isaac, they were going. Abraham was going to offer Isaac. And they said, oh, Father, we have the wood and we have the fire. Where is the lamb to be offered? And then actually, the original translation word was God who sees. God will see. And God who sees is God who provides. That is why in our own tribal languages, we say God see me, which means God see me and provide and look to my need. You see, this morning, if this is your situation, God, Lord Jesus, look into my needs. Actually, he sees your need. He knows about your need. And so Jesus came just to deliver these demon-possessed, these men who have been humiliated by demons. And demons resist. They don't like to be cast out. They love to possess people. Why we as Christians today, because there is a big debate whether a Christian actually could be possessed by a demon or not. You see, it's a big theological question. And people debate. Yes, some say yes, can be possessed by a demon, and some will say no. But I'm not here to decide on this and to say this is another subject. You can call me or we can have a separate meeting. And we talk about that. You see? But what I can tell you is that is a reality. The demons are active. Who put wrong thoughts into your mind? It's demons, it's Satan. Jesus doesn't put bad words into our hearts, to our minds. He doesn't want that. Who makes you angry, agitates you, and you want to explode with no self-control, with no love, with no caring, with no dying to yourself? It's the demons, Satan. And because you give him your will, so he will just prevail. Well, even if we fail at some stage, we can repent, and the Lord Jesus can heal us. With this. So these two men, these two demons possessed, they recognize in Christ his divinity, the Son of God. He said, you Son of God, they shouted, have you come here to torture us before the appointed time? Yes, there is an appointed time where demon will be cast to hell completely, and Satan and his kingdom all will finish. But these people, they know that. But now, even it is not appointed time, the privilege for the children of God is to be free from the entanglements of demons, from the activities of Satan. In the name of Jesus, this should not be the situation where God's people will be sitting under these clouds with new thoughts of joy and praising God and worshiping God and thinking of just only doing good and also praying in faith, having the faith of the centurion to have faith. And to say, just send a word, Jesus, you are so glorious. You are so mighty. Why we don't live as those who have come into contact with Christ, the only Son of God, the mighty one who has authority over sicknesses, over fever, you see, can heal our eyes even, can heal our hearts. I have a younger sister when we were in Cairo. She
had to go. The doctor said she had to have a heart surgery. That was in 1996. Oh, when we received the news, we started to pray. Never had that to this day. The Lord heard the prayers of his own people. His church prayed for her. Her church. Have you come to destroy us, to torture us? Certainly, they are destined to be destroyed because they are aliens. They are not to take part in the kingdom of God. They cannot come closer. And if there are demons active in any fellowship, that's a sign of people giving in to Satan, and they are not having faith in God, and they are just running their own shows, and then that is dangerous. Finally, when Jesus sees, and then he moves because he has the power to do things, but also the last thing is, we see the mother-in-law of Peter got up and began to wait on him. She got up and she started to serve. You see, the psalmist says, what shall I repay to the Lord for all his benefits, for all his blessings? The cup of salvation I pick up, and in the name of the Lord I call. Now I will live for the rest of my life to the one who has demonstrated his power, the divine power of God, who has loved me so much and raised me up, not only from fever, but even from sin, who has set me apart and beautified me according to the language of Ezekiel chapter 16. When I was passing, you were lying on your blood, and I looked at you with pity, and I picked you up, and I cleansed you, and I made you fit for the kingdom. That is what Jesus has done. We who were sinners, messiest people on earth, Jesus took hold of us and nailed our sins on the cross of Calvary, and exchanged our sins for a crown, and destined us to be servant of God, to love people and to make difference in the nations. Yeah, this woman, she got up and she waited on Christ. She served Christ. You see, even with the two demons, the cross references, I think it's Mark who says, or Luke, they said that even these two demons wanted, after they were healed, they wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to follow Jesus. So God sees us, and he's a jealous God. He doesn't want us to be ruled by anything against his will. But we can put ourselves under serious circumstances, and we will be the most pitied on earth if we continue doing that. But if we recognize in Christ his authority and his power to heal our wounds and to heal our minds and to fill us with his love and to glorify God, we will be fine. We will be dancing for his glory. You see, let us not let go of this moment of looking to Christ with full faith. And also, one thing I shouldn't forget to say. You see, you may say to yourself, I don't have faith for the things that I'm struggling with. Well, what is the benefit of a fellowship like this? Do you remember chapter 2 of Mark, the four friends who brought their friend, they insisted to bring him to Jesus. And Jesus said he saw their faith, not the faith of the paralyzed man. So even if you think that you don't have faith like that, well, someone else has faith for you, has faith that they can come with heart, oh Lord, save my brother and my sister. Heal them. I pray that these demons cannot stay there. Just out of love, you have faith for your friend. That is what happened. This man, centurion, he had faith for his servant. His servant didn't have faith. But God, Jesus, looked to the faith of the centurion and he healed his servant. So fellowship like this is when you come with your brothers, when they pray for you, when they share with you their faith, God looked to that and they can heal you. That is so important. That is why the Bible says, do not neglect meeting together. And today we just go our own ways and then we think we can have fun and then you just enjoy this. But actually the real enjoyment is in the fellowship of the believers. You see, I always say my best moments in my life is when I'm meeting a stranger who is a Christian. Are you a Christian? You're born with them. See, that is incredible. Because, you know, one of the things that I just want to finish with that, I find really very annoying and disturbing is when someone say they made themselves. They became what they are because of their effort and because of their cleverness or even their godliness. Wrong. Completely wrong. Many of us, we are a product of the labor of others. We have prayed for us. Who have served us, who have encouraged us in our work with Christ, we are indebted to them. And overall, how much more Jesus Christ, who has done it all, who opened the way for us to see the character of our Heavenly Father, El Roi, God who sees, the God of Hagar, the God of Ishmael. This is my God. And now Jesus Christ coming from heaven, he said, if you have seen the Father, you have seen me. And he came and he demonstrated this, the Son of God who sees and heals and touches and delivers. Because what he did with these people, again, we see his authority some distance from them. They were a large herd. The demon begged Jesus, if you drive us out, of course I will drive you out. That is why I came. Of course I will drive you out. So we are not to be friends with the demons. We have sympathy with Satan, with anything that has something to do with sin. He said to them, go. Again, the authority of his word. That was what Badger said. He rebuked, he commanded these things to go. So they came out and went into the pigs. Jesus also determines the places where he sends even these demons. So now in this story that we see, let us not forget that the fact that Jesus sees your need. Come with your needs to Jesus. Because he sees them in the first place. And he has the power to touch you. He has the power. All that you need to do, you are to open up yourself to this. There is this issue also that I don't want to spend a lot of time doing. It's like how sometimes God doesn't heal, so maybe some people are just so fascinated about healing movement, and others they are just like they go into the other extreme. But let me tell you this. We all know this. When we pray for something, it might not happen straight away, isn't it? It may take 10 years, but do we hate God for not answering us? It doesn't matter, because he is God who heals. He is God who can do anything. But why you want to come and you say, oh, if it's your will, you heal me later. You come to God with your need and leave the rest to him. Whether he heals you or he doesn't heal you, it's not your business. But do you want healing? The fact that you think of coming to God to heal you, to come to Jesus, is a recognition that you could be really real. Why would you want to be double-minded? Come with single mind. Come to God and ask him. He is rich. If he chooses to heal you or not, he is so free and he is so worthy after all. You see, even if we are healed, we will die also. But do you have eternal life? You see, some people, they can't just wait to be with Christ. Apostle Paul himself, he said he was taunted between two, or he was torn between two. So to go or to stay. To go is again like someone doing business, or to stay is to serve Christ. So Jesus sees our needs and he heals so that we can serve him. He got the power. So are you serving the Lord, Jesus Christ? What are your priorities? What are your plans in this world? What are you living for? Who is your master? Who is your savior? Jesus' words has power, and also his touch has power. That is why they say, those who follow me, these signs and wonders shall follow them. They lay their hand on the sick and they shall be healed. When you come to this situation as a servant of God, you have single mind and single heart. Lord, use me, I'm your servant. Like that prophet, go and wash and you will be healed. Or let me pray for you. And also I sit under my friends and say, let us pray for you. They lay their hand, they pray for you, and you are healed. Hallelujah. Are you going to go out from this place today not having given your need to Christ, your mind, your heart, even your body? Bring yourself to Jesus. Or you need a directions, you can ask him. He sees that you are in need of a guidance. He is able to do that. I'm going to pray. And in my prayer, please think of a matter that you would want to bring to the Lord. This place, you can't go to see a doctor and you would not want to explain to them or allow them to examine you. You can't just go all the way and you can't come into the presence of Jesus. Because even these texts, others thought of these texts as meeting with Jesus. And indeed, that is what happened. Those people, they were meeting with Christ and they were never the same. When you come into contact with Christ, you are not the same. Even your heart is flooded with his love and your mind is renewed to follow him, to try to put things right, things that are wrong. So to bring your will under his will and to bring your thoughts under his word, his authority, because his word has authority. So you name whatever you are struggling with, and as you close your eyes, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to move. If you are like the friends who brought people to Jesus, even those who were brought, many who were brought in this story, for Jesus to heal. Also, you can bring even someone that you know that there are trouble, that Jesus can touch them also. And if yourself you have not experienced the salvation, you can open your heart to Christ today and be saved.